Can you hear me, mother? Oh, she's a nice woman. Nice, yes. Of course, I knew her for years and years. Well, she was like one of the family. Oh, have you got your income tax papers yet?
No.
Oh, I got mine. That's all you get now for your income tax. They've done away with all the silly questions now, you know. That only three things on there about your income tax. I'll read them to you. It says, number one, how much did you earn? Number two, how much have you got left? Number three, send it in. There's only one way to make money these days. Win the pools. I know a young man. He's been doing the pools ever since he left school, year in, year out, week after week. Eventually, he came up £75,000. He went to his father. He said, "Dad, I've done it at last. £75,000. His father said, "What are you going to do with all that money?" He said, "Well, I've been thinking it out." He said, "I'm going to give you a pound." So his father said, you're going to give me a pound? And what about the rest of it? Oh, he said, a cruise round the world, a Rolls Bentley, a yacht. He said, "I'm going to do everything I've always wanted to do. What are you going to do with your pound?" His father said, "I think I'll marry your mother." So the son said, "You're going to marry my mother." He said, "Now you know what that makes me, don't you?" He said, "Yes, and you're a mean one as well."
Claude, say good evening.
Oh. I'm so sorry, I can't help that.
No, say good evening.
Good evening, everybody. I can't help it.
You're very rude.
I know, I can't help it, Billy.
What's the matter?
I'm so sorry, but I've forgotten to put a shirt on, Luke.
Oh, Claude, whatever made you do that?
I don't know. I was so excited, you know.
Excited?
Yes. Oh, God, I'm going to have a lot of fun tonight with my friend Mrs. Gibson's listening in, you know.
Oh, Andy?
Yes, with her new set.
Oh, she's got a new set then?
Yes, oh, it's a marvelous set. Perfect fit. She can eat practically anything with them, you know. Oh, yes.
Oh, well, I thought you meant a wireless set.
So it is. No wires at all. Just suction, that's all.
No. No, I meant a radio.
Yeah, oh, she's got a new radio, too. You know, she's using that tonight as well.
Oh, good. Is it an electric set?
No, that wouldn't be any use to her. No, she had her electricity cut off.
Oh,
wow. Yes.
I see. It's a battery set.
No, all mains.
But she won't be able to use it without electricity.
What? Why not?
Because it's all mains.
Oh, I know that, but I mean, she's still got gas and water, you know. I mean, it's...
Now, don't be silly. How could gas and water work a wireless set?
Well, I don't know, but it goes all right, you know.
Does it? But, Claude, is there any necessity for you to carry that large suitcase with you wherever you go?
What, this?
Yes.
Oh, I always carry this wherever I go.
Why?
Good gracious, my word. Yes, because I... What?
Why do you?
Well, I don't know. I always do.
What do
you don't know what's in it, I'll bet.
I'm afraid I don't. What is it?
Well, wait till I show you. You'll be surprised when you see.
What is it?
Wait a minute. There you are.
Well?
What do you think then? Have a look at that. What would you think that was?
Well, it looks like a very ordinary umbrella to me.
No, don't jump to conclusions. Have a good look at it.
Well, I don't know. If it isn't an umbrella, what is it?
It's a present from Mrs. Gibson.
Yes, but why carry an umbrella in a case? It isn't raining anyway.
No, I know, but Mrs. Gibson made me promise that I'd always carry it in case.
Oh, but she didn't. But she didn't mean to carry it in a case.
Well, that's what she said. Always carry it in case.
No, she means in case it rains.
Yeah, what?
Well.
Oh, well, I never thought of that.
Now, here is another letter from my brother Sid, dated October the 5th. My dear Jack, here I am again, and I hope you are too. It must be some years now since I wrote to you, but the missus ran off with a lodger in 1945 and took the pencil with her. She had always been threatening to leave me, but it was some time before I could get her to promise. The lodger was a nice chap, though, only he took my darts. However, the missus came back again last week, which was a good thing, as there was quite a lot of washing up accumulated in 4 years. Ivy and Herbert have just had another baby under the new scheme, and they asked me to go along and see the little stranger. They asked me what I thought it was, and I got it in 3 guesses. Herbert says it will be a member of Parliament when he grows up, because he can say so many things that sound good and mean nothing. Our cousin Alf, who was a commercial traveller, is now travelling in ladies' underwear, and he don't half look silly. Do you remember the cat we called George? Well, he'd had kittens on the antimacassar the other day, so now we call her Georgina. I'm waiting up to put her out, but she hasn't come in yet. Nearly every house in our road has a television aerial now, and it adds quite a tone to the district. Some of them are even thinking of having television sets. The missus says she doesn't want a set, because it's bad enough to have to listen to some of them without having to see them as well. Well, I think that is all the news for now, except to tell you that we have moved into a new house next to the glue factory, so there is always a horrible smell from your loving brother Sid. P.S. We have a very good town council now. You only have to write to them if you want anything you haven't got, and they write back and tell you how you can do without it. Well, ta-da for now.
Well, it came up to me the other day, said, Maxie, I don't want to cause any trouble between you and the wife. I know you are. 50-50 and everything, and he's right. We never argue, the wife and I. I'll tell you why. She does as she likes, and I do what she tells me. And I tell my wife everything. Well, everything I'm thinking. The neighbors tell her what I'm doing. But he said, Maxie, he said, watch her. Now, watch her. He said, because I think. And when they start to think, it makes you think, doesn't it? So I thought, well, he might be right. You don't know. So one night, I went home. One night. I went in the back way, through the kitchen, through the dining room, to the drawing room. When I got in the drawing room, there they were, of course, sitting on the settee. And he's got his arms round her. So I looked at the wife, I said, turn that up, I'm not standing for that. I've stood a lot from you, but not that. So I looked at him, I said, who are you? He said, I'm the Coleman. The Coleman? I said, where's your horse and cart? He said, outside. He didn't bring it in, he was clever. Well, I lost me temper. You would, wouldn't you, if you saw a thing like that? And I've got a shocking temper. I went outside, I didn't half kick his horse. Here! When I came back in, the wife was crying. I said, what are you crying for? She said, well, you know those 2 plumbers you sent round this morning to do the work outside? They've been using bad language. I said, all right, I'll go and see them in the morning. So the following one, I went round. I said, this fellow, I said, have you been using bad language? He said, no, not us. We're plumbers, we don't use bad language. I said, well, what happened? He said, I'll tell you what happened. He said, I was going up the ladder, he said, and my pal was at the bottom, and I was carrying some hot lead. Boiling hot. And when I got halfway up, I slipped. And, of course, all the lead went down my pal's neck. Boiling hot. And he looked up to me and he said, Charlie, do be a bit more careful. Now, my boy, I'm very proud of it. He's joined the Navy. And he'll get on because he can talk as well. So the captain said to him, he said, you can either be successful or stay as you are. He said, in what way do you mean, successful? He said, well, when you're on watch, night watch, he said, all you've got to do is remember 3 things. That's all, 3 things. When you see a light on the port side, you shout out light on the port side. If you see a light on the starboard side, you shout light on the starboard side. And if you see a light in front, you shout light ahead. That's all you've got to remember. Well, he was on one night, so he shouted down, light on the port side. And the captain said, you'll have to be quicker than that. I saw that 2 hours ago. He said, you did? He said, yes. A few hours passed, he shouted out light on the starboard side. He said, you'll have to be quicker than that. I saw that 2 hours ago. He said, you did? He said, yes. A few hours passed, he shouted out, light ahead. Up came the captain. He said, where? Where's light ahead? He said, daylight. You didn't see that 2 hours ago, did you?
Drop more tea, please, Emily. Cool, Grandma, I've had a letter. Drop more tea, I said. Who's it from? Coo. Who's it from, I asked, when you've done cooing over it like a pigeon. Perhaps you'll condescend to tell me. Aunt Maria. And I don't want to hear about it. Maria never had nothing sensible to say when she was young. She certainly won't have now.
She wants to come and stay a bit.
What for?
She says her landlord's doing her place up and she's afraid the paint will turn her.
If it turned her sensible instead of muddle-headed, she ought to be grateful.
She'll be here tonight. Good gracious, what shall I get for her supper?
You ain't making a fuss over Maria. Let her have what we have. Be thankful to get it.
I know. I'll make a Connaught pie.
That sounds very tasty. Very tasty indeed. If you like to bottle about and make all that fuss over Maria, I wouldn't. Besides, it might tempt her to stay if your cooking's too good. Don't do to cook too well. That's what made Louisa Nutbutton's husband marry her. She said to me time and again with tears in her eyes, I'm afraid, Clara, she says that Henry only married me for my cooking.
Well, as long as she kept on cooking, I suppose it was all right.
That's what I said. You silly woman, I said. If he married you for your looks, they'd go, I said. But your cooking can get better and better. That's what's troubling me, she says. I shan't never get rid of him.
Well, Mr. Murgatroyd, I never thought we'd get to meet again.
No, only to fish. Mr. Winterbottom, you look spick and span, though. You haven't even got a tear in your clothes.
No, my wife gives the rent to the landlord.
This clothes rationing is difficult. I used to dress in Bond Street.
And then?
Policeman moved me on. Yeah. Who was your cutter?
My cutter? What, hair or salary?
Matter of fact, I've still got a very large wardrobe.
Anything in it?
Two ties and a strong smell of mothballs.
Well, I still think it necessary that every smart man should possess four suits.
Spades and clubs.
Hearts and diamonds.
Socks and shirts.
Stocks and shares.
Bows and arrows.
Belts and braces.
A bowler.
A batsman.
A cap.
Filby.
Stengali.
Studs.
Links.
Tennis court.
Evening coat.
Ulster.
Munster.
Leinster.
Connaught.
And a pair of pajamas. Come here. Why do they call them a pair?
Because an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
An apple a day is no good to me. I like a good square meal.
Well, what do you say to sausages, then?
So long, oblongs. By the way, what do you have first thing in the morning these days?
A bad cough. What do you have?
Besides what?
Besides the same cough I have.
Oh, that's funny. I always feel funny.
Oh, that's just conceit. What are your...
By the way, your eyes are running.
I'll catch up with them in a minute.
Good, I'm very good.
As a matter of fact, my doctor told me to take things quietly.
Pity, and you were so fond of soup. Incidentally, I've got to take things quietly until January.
Yuletide over.
A
few impersonations. My first, a tall carol singer.
Well, why the long wait?
That's it, a tall carol singer. I would give you a book for Christmas, but you've no appreciation of literature, have you?
I read Dickens.
Great Scott.
And him, too.
Read Arnold Bennett.
Yes.
Sabatini.
Yes.
Mary Corelli.
No, I was going to, but I married Miss Smith instead. Do you read in bed?
No, my wife does, and I turn over.
We turn over, do you?
Here, come on, let's get on with our essay on London.
I don't know where to start.
Oh, London's big enough, ain't it? Why don't you start at Buckingham Palace?
No, I'm going to leave that till the last.
What?
I know, I think I'll start with the Royal Mint.
The Royal Mint?
Yes, don't you know what the Royal Mint is?
Of course I do, Soppy. It's what the king puts on his roast lamb.
Didn't see.
What?
Dad says it's the place where they make all the money.
What, a dog track?
It's a big building what's near to the Tower of London. You know the Tower of London, don't you?
Oh, yes, of course I do. There's the White Tower, the Wakefield Tower, and the...
Mum says you're not to say that one.
All right, all right. I know how to spell it anyway.
Well, that's where I'm going to start.
What?
Then I'm going on down to the Houses of Parliament.
Oh, I bet I know more about Parliament than what you do.
Who told you?
I heard that talking. He said that all the MPs are going out with brooms.
Going out with brooms?
Yes.
Whatever for?
He said when they have the next election, his party's going to sweep the country.
See, I wish you'd stop talking.
What?
I want to get on with my essay.
All right, then how far have you got?
Well, I've got as far as Buckingham Palace. Here, I say.
What?
I wouldn't half like to go inside Buckingham Palace, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, I suspect it's marvellous.
Yes, it must be.
Yes. Yes. I bet their front parlour's even better than what ours is, don't you?
Don't be silly. They wouldn't have a front parlour in Buckingham Palace.
Of course they've got a front parlour. You don't think they eat all their meals in the kitchen, do you?
You don't half talk soppy.
No, I don't talk soppy. Loyalty have their rations served up on golden salivas.
The day Charlie Evans and me spent a night in Blackpool. Charlie, a pal of Charlie's, promised to give us a run around the town. So we got in the car and we were off when all of a sudden a policeman pulled us up and he said to the folk who was driving, he said, do you know you've got no lights on this car? This fellow said, I don't need lights. I know every inch of the town. Another fellow gets on the last bus going home. Takes about 3/4 of an hour, 5 miles away out in the suburbs. He's had as much as he can carry. Takes him all the time to get on the bus. When he gets on, he flops down into the first seat he comes to. Just before the bus starts, a lady gets in. So with great difficulty, he gets up out of his seat and he said, pardon me, madam. Would you care for my seat? She said, thanks very much, and she sat down. So he strap-hanged all this 3/4 of an hour, 5 miles, didn't let go of the strap, thrown all over the bus, till eventually the conductor shouted out, terminus, everybody off here. He lets go of the strap, the bus stops, he gets on the platform and he says to the conductor, did you see me give my seat to that lady? The conductor said, yes, sir, I did. He said, you did? He said, yes. Well, he said, that's just to point out to you that chivalry is not yet dead in this country, do you think? The conductor said, oh, no, that's what it was. He said, I've been wondering what it was because there was only you and her in the bus.
Chances. I could have married a widow. A widow on my last trip home with a house full of her own furniture. That's why I didn't marry her. She'd always been throwing it in my face, you know. But I knew she wanted me. Sailors have that instinct. I knew because one night we were sitting on the divan together. All right, the sofa. This widow and I, we were sitting on the sofa. And all of a sudden, she looked right up into my dial. In the way that widows can. Any of you lads ever had a widow looking at you? Eh? You ever noticed that sly, sleek look, you know? You've seen a ferret looking at a rabbit. She looked right up into my face and she says, Willie, I want a sailor. A sailor to see me across the stormy seas of life. I said, it's not a sailor you want, my good woman. It's a second mate. And since then, I've kept single and free. And now, boys and girls, I'm off again. I'm going home to my own little house now. With all the family waiting for me. Wee Cocky, Eileen, Grandma, the whole lot of them. But I'm going home now. The ship's arrived home, and my father and mother, they don't know I'm home yet. I'm giving the old people a surprise. And you know, it'll be wonderful to land home and see their old Scotch faces light up. Of course, the old man's face will be lit up in any case. I'm dying to see my mother. You know, I haven't seen the old lady for 2 years. And it'll be wonderful to land back home and see her old Scotch face light up. She hasn't seen me for 2 years, but I'll bet you, Bob, I'll tell you my mother's first words as soon as she sees me arrive with my kit bag in below my oxter and coming up the passage. She'll just look and she'll see me and she'll say, "Willie.
Willie! Where's the 10, Bob, you pinched off the mantelpiece to get it to live?"
Now, ladies and gentlemen, hearken. Now, hearken. This is it. Now, hearken. Now, hearken. Ha, ever so can. Now, that's the life, the circus, what? That's the life, if you live. I know what. I'm telling you this. Listen, there's one phase in my life, there's one phase, and I never forget a phase. Every gag fresh from the quipperies. One day, you see, there I was cleaning my boots, and then the ringmaster came up, and he said, "Listen," he said, "Howard, I've been watching you for some time." He said, "You're ambitious, hardworking, courageous." Oh, I didn't know what to say. I was such a fool, really. Stood there in my nightie, I thought, fool. He said, "Put this uniform on." He said, "Put this uniform on." He said, "Now, you've got it on, right." I said, "Look, it's a bit of a cheek, you know." I said, "After all I've done for you," I said, "asking me to sell ice cream." He said, "Don't worry." He said, you've got your uniform on, right. Stand by, because you're on in a minute." Well, I said, "What's the rush?" I said, "There's plenty of time." I said, "The interval's not yet, is it?" I said, "They've got this line act to do first." He said, now that's it." Now, he said, "Now, follow me." So we got to the ringside. There was this cage and all the lions inside snarling and roaring and dallying and jostling. Oh, I said, "Lovely, a nice bunch of pussies, aren't they?" I said, "They're waiting for something, aren't they?" He said, "Yes, the lion tamer." He said, "So when you're ready..." I said, "I beg your pardon?" He said, "Yes." He said, "You're it." "Yes." I walked straight up to the cage, and immediately all the lions ran towards me, and I just stared at them. And they all slunk away. They did. I said, "How's that?" "Oh, yeah, it's very good," he said, "but you should be inside the cage." I said, "Inside?" I said, "They'll tear me to pieces." He said, "Look." He said, "I don't want you making all this fuss about it." He said, I can assure you, he said, "we shall all be stood round the edge with guns. And if there's the slightest chance of you being torn to pieces, we shall shoot you. So," he said, "don't worry." And before I could argue... Oh, you make me mad. Now, pull yourselves together. Before I could argue, he opened the door, you see, and pushed me in the cage, and all that door clanged behind me, and something ran up and down my spine. I was too frightened to scratch it, or I was in a shocking state. And there's all these lions crouching at the other end of the cage. Arguing whether they should play with me or get it over with. The ringmaster said, "Well, go on." He said, "Go on, do something." He said, "I've only got 6 lions." I said, "6? I said, "Go on and look again." I said, I can make 7. He said, 7? Oh, no, not tonight. Oh, he said, "No. Tonight of all night has happened. Leo's got in by accident." Oh, he said, it's a terrible... He said, "I shall give those keepers such a scolding." He said, "Leo only came from the jungle yesterday. He's still savage." Eh? I didn't know what to do. He said, "Look, take your tunic off. Get your tunic off quick." I said, "Why?" He said, "We're going to get blood all over it." He said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "He said, let him taste you." He said, "That'll put him off." I was amazed! Then without warning, there was a dead silence. There was a dead silence. It was so quiet I could hear the light shining on me. And the drums started to roll. Then one of the lions came slowly forward. And I went slowly backward. And I was right up against the path. I couldn't go any further. And it came forward, this lion. It still came forward, and it stopped and opened its mouth. The ringmaster said, "Right, this is it. This is a big trick. Yeah, this is the head-in-the-mouth trick." He said, "No, you put your head in the lion's mouth." He said, look, I'll show you what to do. He said, "Look, follow me, watch me." He said, "I'll do it once. So he came in the cage. He said, "Look, watch me." And he put his head right in the lion's mouth. Yes, in the lion's mouth. Top hat and all. The crowd applauded. The band played. Everybody cheered. It was wonderful. And as I said to his widow at the funeral, I said, "Yes. Oh, yes." I said, "If he'd only remembered to take his cigar out of his mouth," I said, "it would have been all right."
Morning, Blenkinsop. Is Miss Norcia Bagwash at home? She is, and she'll see me. I'm delighted. Now, I'm outside the boudoir.
I know. Wait a minute. I'm not ready for you yet. I'm still with her.
I could give you a running cover to her.
Ready.
Right. Now, I'm opening the boudoir door.
Well, don't touch me. You're not in yet.
I've shut the boudoir door.
Yes.
And now I'm in your boudoir.
Yes.
Oh, nausea. Do you know what I'm here for?
I've got a damn good idea.
Nausea. I want to ask you a question.
Well, the answer's no.
Nausea, I've had something trembling on my lip for weeks.
Well, why don't you shave it off?
It'll get in your cocoa.
Nausea, I kneel before you. I am intoxicated by your beauty. The perfume of your presence.
Oh, they all move away, Jack.
Those beautiful lips, those beautiful teeth, those lovely eyes. Nausea, darling, I've come to press my suit.
Mary, put the iron on.
Well, oh, that's what you've got to do.
What, all that?
All that.
I'm going to stay single all my life. I can't wait.
Now, this time, so I'm going to be Nausea and you're going to be yourself.
That's right. Well, you're Nausea, are you? Get up in the bedroom.
The boudoir.
The same thing, only right. French.
You've called to see Miss Nausea Bagwash.
What? She'll see me? I am surprised. I'm coming up the stairs. Now I'm going down the stairs.
What are you doing that for?
Hang me out in the hall. Now I'm coming upstairs.
Yes.
Knock, knock.
Come in.
Don't be so anxious. Oh, Nausea, I've got something hanging on my face.
Oh. Trembling on your lip, you fool.
Nausea, I'm drunk. I'm plastered.
I am intoxicated by your beauty.
Nausea, you smell like a pheasant.
Oh. The perfume of your presence.
That beautiful eye.
Eyes.
I can only see one from here. What's the matter with you? Those lovely lips, just like petals.
Ah, rose petals.
Here it comes. No bicycle petals. Nausea, I've come to iron my trousers.
I want to have a serious talk with you. Benny, my boy, do you ever consider the future? Do you ever think about your old age, which will be here any day now? Did you know that by saving a penny a day, at the end of the week, you can have sevenpence? Wouldn't you like to retire someday and spend your life just resting on your dividend?
Vic, what is all this?
Mr. Lion, my card.
Vic Oliver, the amalgamated assurance you can bet your life insurance company. Burglary insurance a specialty. Crime doesn't pay, but when it does, we get 10%.
How about investing in a small policy, Benny boy? All you pay is 5 shillings a week, and if somebody burgles your house, we guarantee to get your pictures in the papers.
No, Vic, no. I've got all the insurance I want.
Okay, tell me what you got.
Well, I've got a wonderful little thing. If I don't work, it pays me every week.
I know all about BB. But what about insurance?
Well, I took out a policy only last week.
Accident?
No, I took it out on purpose. Full of jokes, aren't you? Well, I don't want any insurance, so that's that.
Well, Benny, don't you want to hear about the special personal service I give with every accident policy?
Personal service? What's that?
Within 7 days, I guarantee to knock you down in my car, personally. That's the beauty of the policy, Ben. No middleman.
No, I'm not interested.
But then it only costs sixpence a week. And think of it, you can collect £5,000.
Really?
Think of your wife and children, Ben.
I can't.
Why not?
I'm still thinking about that £5,000. Tell me, how do I collect the £5,000?
Well, of course, it depends on the accident. Now, for instance, if you get sunstroke in Manchester on Christmas Day, you get £1,000.
Uh-huh.
Yes. If you break a leg playing pontoon, you get £2,000.
Oh, I see.
Of course, we pay double for 5-card tricks.
That's ridiculous.
Now, here's a policy, a retirement policy. When you reach the age of 65, you retire and live happily until you're 66.
Well, what happens if I die before I'm 65?
Well, all you do is pay a small fine.
Well, I'm sorry, but you have absolutely nothing to interest me.
Now, wait a minute, Ben. What about a fire?
No, thanks. I'm quite warm enough, really.
You know, I think the script has been tampered with. I'm talking about fire insurance. We have a line in fire insurance. My boy, it's so good. Last week, I bought £1,000 worth of it myself.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it, Vic, and only just in time, eh? I heard about your house being burnt down last Wednesday.
Shut up.
What? What's the matter?
You dope. That was last Wednesday. Next Wednesday.
Excuse, please, mister.
Oh, lummy. Here he is. It's Pyramid Pete with the off-white feet. What do you want?
Oh, mister, you give me permission to pedal on your parade ground?
No. Oh, no. You'll have to see Shagger Brown about that.
Oh, then, mister, I tell you, blackout Chevron, very stripy, oh, crappy.
Oh, thank you. You haven't got a nice hat, not too fat.
Oh, no, mister. I got what they wear. Very cocky, nice and darky.
Well, have you any historical pictures for the officer's mess, like Wellington at Paddington, or what's the matter with you?
Oh, yes, mister. I got Lord Moore in army store. I got him. I go, I come back. Mr. Randley, Mr. Randley, Mr. Randley. Private Jones, 648519/793-41 is on 48 hours leaving Surrey. He's walking down a lane with a WEF on one arm and a Wren on the other. What's he got on his head?
An hat.
That's right.
Well.
There you are, Tommy Wummy.
Oh, hello, Aunt Sally. Well, they haven't knocked the clay pipe out of your mouth yet. Have you been entertaining the troops?
Oh, yes, dear boys. We've had such a lovely romp in the canteen.
Oh, really? What did you play? Strip Ludo or Kiss in the Cookhouse?
No, I recited Shakespeare to them.
Shakespeare? What did you give them? Much Ado About Nappy? Or The Taming of the Stew?
They closed their eyes in ecstasy and blew loud kisses at me.
They do that to me sometimes. But I prefer strawberries.
And then, to the more agile ones, I taught the maypole dance.
You old rascal. Next thing you'll be turning a cartwheel in the sergeant's mess.
One dear boy was so amusing. He said he was a titterbug.
Titterbug? What did he do, run up the wall and laugh? Well, did they dance long, Auntie?
Oh, no. No, they had to go out for what they called their wallop.
Oh, I
see. Yes, I think it's a kind of cocoa.
It tastes like it sometimes, yes.
Now, here's another letter which simply starts by saying...
Good morning, sir. Was there something?
Good morning, Costa. How's Emily?
Well, she's a bit worried with her twinges again, sir. She's just had a bout.
About how many?
No, sir, no. She got twinges again, and Dr. Turnbull has recommended witch hazel.
Witch hazel?
He didn't say, sir. It's very worrying.
Yeah, but you're not the worrying kind, Costa.
Well, and then I've had this P-A-Y-E form. P-A-Y-E. For all the sense it makes to me, it might as well stand for pay as you earn.
But it does, Costa.
Well, according to the form, it says I'm a married woman.
It doesn't, Costa. It says, are you a married woman?
Well, how could I be with this moustache? Well, they ought to know better.
Well, you'd better let me handle this, Costa. I've had a great deal of experience with these forms for my employees in the city. Dealing with them every day is just routine stuff. Now then, I expect that's form P-74X or possibly Y.
Possibly Y what, sir?
Just Y. P-74X or possibly P-74Y.
Oh.
No, it couldn't be O. P-74O is a license to buy a tricycle for a child without rubber tires.
Oh, well, here's the form, sir. Name in full, number of wives, how's your father, can you eat it, does your nephew come from none eaten? Why, the whole thing's just a lot of...
Costa!
Well, there's so many questions on there, it isn't true.
Don't worry, I don't suppose the answers will be either. What's the first question, sir?
Name.
Yes, what's your name, Costa?
Costa, sir.
How do you do? My name... Oh, I'm sorry, next...
Address.
Well, usually a draped jacket with off-the-shoulder pads and socks attached.
Don't be ridiculous, Costa. Where do you live?
Why?
Yes, it is, actually.
Is what, sir?
This form, P-74Y. I had an aunt once, and she had a P-74Y, when they were inquiring about her...
Come in.
No, income. She didn't stand any nonsense. She simply said...
Good morning, sir. Dudley Davenport at your service, huh?
Oh, there you are, Dudley. We've been discussing P-A-Y-E. Costa's had a form P-74-Y.
Oh, well, that's funny, sir. I've had a form P-74-Y, too.
Oh, you couldn't have, Dudley. P-74-Y-2 is a permit for building a potting shed with or without plastic struts. Anyhow, what's worrying you?
Well, sir, I seem to have a cold.
Now, Costa, you're not to say it's due to the change in the weather. It wouldn't be funny.
Oh, on the contrary, Murdoch. Very amusing. I've just seen it. What hazels. Good enough for the wireless.
Isn't it nice sitting here on the sofa quietly doing the crossword together? Fancy you finishing your copy of the crossword already, and I've hardly started. You are clever, aren't you, Ron?
Yes, Ed.
Well, I must just check if I've got some of my answers right. Ron, what have you put down for eight across, beloved?
Eight across, flobbergob.
Flobbergob? I've never heard of that word, Ron.
Neither have I, Ed.
Oh, Ron, the idea is you put down real words. You mustn't just put down anything.
Oh, can I have a borrow of your rubber, then?
You are. You see, Ron, it's no good making up words. They've got to mean real things.
I see. Is there such a thing as a zosh?
No, Ron.
An akbok.
No, Ron.
A yiff.
No, dearest.
Oh, you'd better leave the rubber my side, beloved.
Ron, and I thought you'd finished. Flobbergob. The clue was forsaken, eight letters, and the answer's derelict, Ron.
Derelict.
Well, it wouldn't be so bad if you'd got abandoned.
Oh, right, oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Ron, I didn't mean that.
Well, just a kiss.
Oh, Ron, you're getting your fire old sticking in my ear.
Oh. Hello, hello, hello. What's this, Ron converting a try? Here, quick, Ron. Out the way of the sideboard. I want to get me a spare pair of braces and a walnut.
What for, Mr. Glum?
That blasted tabby cat's in among my cabbages again. I'll have to... Here, what's this you two are busy on? A crossword puzzle? Oh, I love crosswords. How are you getting on?
Not very well, Dad. Eth says my flobbergob is derelict.
Wow, we're none of us getting any younger.
No, Mr. Glamron just hasn't got the hang of it at all. He puts down words that don't even exist.
Oh, well, now, let's see if I can help, then. What's this here? Seven across, opposite of first. Well, that's simple enough. Hunger.
Hunger? But there's only room for four letters.
Well, write small, then. Squeeze them up a bit. Let's see what else you got here. What's this here? Eth, you're a fine one to talk about using words that don't exist. Look at this one you put down here. Yak.
Oh, that's a word, Mr. Glum.
Yak. Don't talk wet. Yak isn't a word. It's just a noise you make when you're trotting something.
Yak. Well, it is a word, Mr. Glum. Look, the clue is... Primitive beast of burden, three letters.
Primitive beast of burden, three letters?
Yes.
What do you make the answer, Ron?
I put down mum.
That makes sense anyway, eh? You and your yak. Oh, dear. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, dear me. Stone me, what a life. What's the time?
2 o'clock.
Is that all? Oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, dear me. I don't know. Oh, I'm fed up.
Oi.
What?
Why don't you shut up moaning and let me get on with the paper?
Well, I'm fed up.
So you just said.
Well, so I am.
Look, so am I fed up, and so is Bill fed up. We're all fed up, so shut up moaning and make the best of it.
Oh, look. It started raining.
That's all we wanted. You watch, it'll go dark in a minute. We'll have to switch the lights on. I think I'll go to bed.
You've only been up an hour.
That is by the way and nothing to do with it. I might just as well be in bed. There's nothing else to do. I wish I hadn't got up now. Your dinner wasn't worth getting up for, I'll tell you that for a start.
Oh, well, I don't know. I ate all mine.
That is neither here nor there. You also ate Bill's and Sid's and mine. I thought my mother was a bad cook, but at least her gravy used to move about. Yours just sort of lies there and sets.
That's the goodness in it.
That's the half a pound of flour you put in it. Oh, dear. What a life. It's Sunday. I've had a rotten dinner. It's raining. And I've got nothing to do.
There's plenty of odd jobs you can do around the house.
Oh, shut up. It's a day of rest. I'm not mending your bed again.
Oh, read the paper, will you?
Well, it makes you sick. I hate Sundays.
So do I, but there's one a week and there always has been and there's nothing we can do about it.
It's not like this on the continent. It's their big day over there. All the cafes open and football matches and race meetings. Everybody's gay. Not over here, though. Everything's shut up.
I wish you would.
What's the time?
The little hand's on 2 and the big hand's on 3. That's 2:03.
It is 2:15.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
2:15. Another 9 3/4 hours before it's Monday. Depressing, isn't it? Don't care very much for Monday, either. I mean, Saturdays are always spoiled thinking about Sunday.
Well, the time's gradually going, isn't it?
Thank you very much. Here, I've just thought. When do you alter the clocks?
Today.
Do you put them forward or back?
Forward.
That'll get rid of another hour. Give us the clock. 3:20. That's better. Soon be Monday.
Well, I finished the paper. Now I've got nothing to do.
Now, Armpit Theatre presents a story of the fastest gun in the West and how justice was brought to the wild frontier by the man they called the Palone Ranger.
I'm an old panhandler.
You don't have to tell us, Doctor.
One day I was panhandling up the creek, crouched over my pan looking for gold.
You won't find any there, are
we? All right. I had staked out a claim in the Black Hills of Dakota, and my daughter and I were hoping to strike it rich.
Gee, Paul, shucks, dug on the hide and cat on the hot tin roof.
What is it, Hoss?
Paul, do you think we'll ever find gold?
Oh, but of course we will.
But, Paul, we've been out here prospecting for months. I'm plumb tuckered out.
Well, plumb tuckered in. And fix us some victuals.
Look, Paul, strangers on our land.
I looked up as a group of horsemen approached. The leader towered over 5 foot high, including the horse. I took in his sombreroed head, his leather-jacketed body, and his chapped legs. His high-heeled boots boasted ornate silver spurs. Who was this sinister stranger? He spoke.
I am Buffalo Sidney Goose Creature. The celebrated desperado who's feared and hated from Kansas City to Sacramento. And none too popular in Finchley, I might add.
And what do you want of me?
I want your land. The railroad is coming through. Soon the Black Hills will reverberate with the sound of the Iron Horse. Don't mess with me, pubes. We're desperate men.
He gestured at his swarthy companions.
This is Mexican Solly Mutterbucket. He was with the Villa.
Pancho Villa?
No, Aston Villa. He's transferred to me in the close season. And this is Two Chin Panda Body. He's a hired gun. Works for anyone, don't you, Two Chin?
Two Chin? Surely you mean Two Gun.
No, dearie, Two Gins and I'm Anybody's. Oh, it's not...
Oh, she's a fine figure of a woman, isn't she? And who are the others?
These are my cow hands.
Yes?
These are my cow feet. And that's me cow heel. I'll give you 24 hours to get out of this territory.
24 hours?
Well, to you, 23. Adios, amigos. Adios.
Oh, gee, Paul, what are we going to do?
Well, there's only one thing we can do. Send for the Palone Ranger.
A streak of light, a flash of white, and a cry of...
Ho-ho, Sylvia.
It's the Palone Ranger.
Whoa, Sylvia. Allow me to introduce myself. I am the Palone Ranger, and this is Sylvia the Wonder Horse, played very quietly by Douglas Smith in Blinkers.
Steady, girl.
She looks run down.
Well, we've ridden 500 miles to get here, and she's due for a service. But we're at your command, me and my trusty Palaiorno...
Palomino.
Well, any Palaiorno is a Palomino.
And you've ridden 500 miles just to say that. A fool's errand.
Tell me, Palone Ranger, why do you always wear that mask?
Some say it's because I'm a wanted criminal seeking to atone for my crimes. Some say I wear it to prevent unsightly crow's feet. But the real reason is the elastic's caught round my ears and I can't get the damn thing off.
We'd all feel a lot safer if you'd stop hanging on to us and staring straight ahead with that fixed, wild glare.
I can't help it, sir. I'm all of a nerve. I'm nervous. I don't like it up here, sir. No, I don't. Not at all. I don't like it, sir. I don't, not one tiny, tiny bit that I don't. No, not like it, I don't, sir. Not at all, I don't. Not in the slightest, Adam. No, like it, I do not. Not at all. No, I do not. No. Help!
We had gathered that you weren't too keen.
Richie, what's all the panic about? You've got a parachute on, so if you want to go down again, why don't you jump?
Oh, thank you, sir. If you're sure you wouldn't... Ah! Murderers! I better nearly jump, eh, sir?
I rather wish you had, actually, Chief. That parachute you're wearing must be about due for testing by now.
Look, never mind chatting to me, sir. Just consternate on your driving, please.
It's funny you should mention that. I've been watching Lieutenant Parfitt, and do you know, there's absolutely nothing to it. Anyone could fly one of these.
No, come away. You come away, sir. Now, look, don't you meddle with the unknown, sir.
But it's so simple, Chief. I mean, all he does is wiggle that thing with his hand and waggle those things with his feet.
Mr. Murray, sir, look, speak to him, sir. Warn him off. Don't let him touch.
Mr. Phillips, but sit down.
I just wanted to see what that thing...
Help! 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 It on fire!
Mr. Pivot!
What did I do? What did I do?
Set off a small flare. Shook it out of the feet, sir. I can't see a thing in here.
Then keep going up a bit, sir,
where's
please.
The flare? We must check it out. I can't even see it.
Here it is, sir. This must be the thing here.
Now what's he done?
You idiot! You set off the distress rockets now.
I say... Aren't they pretty colours?
Outside, they might have been in here. They're blinding me.
Go on! Get out of it! Go on, go away! Go on! Sparkle all over somebody else!
You know, I really do feel I owe you chaps a bit of an apology.
So do we. How are things going, Mr. Parfitt? The smoke and fireworks seem to have died down a bit.
Can you see what you're doing now, sir? I hope.
Just about. However, there's someone else worrying me now.
What? What's that?
Well, look out for yourselves. What's happened to Portland?
Pardon?
It's vanished. There's no sign of land anywhere.
Lummy, you don't mean I blew up Portland as well?
No, hardly, old man. The CO isn't potty enough to send you lot up with bombs aboard.
At the express command of the pilot, adjust parachute as instructed. On the command, abandon aircraft, grasp the metal ring, jump and count 10 slowly, then pull the ripcord. Should the chute fail to open, return to makers with a full refund. Oh, Marley, what's going on?
Stop reading that.